are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name's Patricia Tran. I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. You can find my work by following me on Twitter at Patricia_Trana. And for today's show, I'm going to play a couple of segments that I did with my former co-host, Ed Valentine. He and I got together earlier today to share our impressions and takeaways from the Combine. But before I get to that in segments 2 and 3 of this program, I did want to bring you up to speed on the latest news, as there is a little bit to talk about here. In minor news, the Giants have re-signed quarterback Alex Tanny, who was due to be a restricted free agent. The terms of his deal are not known, but my guess is it's a one-year veteran minimum type of deal because there was just simply no way he was going to get the restricted free agent tender. That's, you know, that was a pretty hefty tag there. So I just didn't see that happening, especially if the Giants are crying that they don't have money to spend. The signing of Tanny is not really a surprise. I know Pat Shurmur spoke highly about him last year, talked about, you know, don't give up on him, that it's possible that he could contribute and whatnot. But also coming out, and this was reported by New Jersey Advanced Media, is that Kyle LaLetta underwent some minor surgery recently. How recently, I couldn't tell you, but apparently there could be a correlation between that surgical procedure and the need to bring back Tanny. Now, if Tanny is signed to a veteran free agent minimal qualifying offer, they can cut him and not take a big cap hit. So I wouldn't get too worked up over that particular transaction. The Giants are just doing due diligence. You know, Tanny was on the roster last year. He contributed as a scout team quarterback. And, you know, the Giants, if they decide they want to draft a quarterback or acquire a quarterback via a trade or in free agency, they can still do that, and they can easily part with Tanny if they need to. The other big news is that, and this is courtesy of a report from the NFL Network, the Giants are not planning to franchise tag safety Landon Collins. Now, there was a thought process earlier on that, you know, maybe the Giants were getting ready to play hardball, but apparently, you know, Dave Gettleman, who spoke to the media last week, said that, you know, the situation was still being evaluated. They have decided not to franchise tag him. They have decided not to apply the transition tag. And I say this as of about 6:45 on Monday, the day before the deadline. So is it surprising? Kind of. I thought for sure they might work something out between the two sides. The other, you know, factor of it is you got to wonder, you know, how is Collins' medical coming along? You know, is there something more to this story than we're just not aware of? Ed Valentine and I, who you'll hear from in just a little bit, we discussed this possibility, actually, that maybe there was something else that might be brewing. What that something else is, I don't know. Ed didn't know. But sometimes you just never get the whole story, no matter how hard you dig. And, you know, there's so many potential angles to this besides money, because I just believe that if the Giants really wanted to get Collins back, they could have found a way to make, you know, to clear cap space. So just something's up there. What that something is, I couldn't begin to tell you. All right, so what we're going to do is, before we take our break, actually, I just want to give you a heads up. On tomorrow's program, I'm going to have Mark Schofield on the show. Mark and I spoke about the quarterback highlights from the combine. Mark, of course, you know, watched the performances and the throwing and whatnot, and he had some really, really good material that he was able to share. I mean, we talked about a variety of topics, everything from, you know, his overall view of the quarterbacks, the best fit, you know, what kind of transition that Dwayne Haskins would be looking at, who stock rose and whose stock dropped. Kyle Shermer was mentioned. Kyle Murray deciding not to do drills. You know, Eli Manning, where he's at. Next year's quarterback class. Just so many topics Mark and I covered in about, you know, a 40-minute interview. So that will drop tomorrow. Also coming up on the program later this week, I'm going to have CBS Sports cap analyst Joel Corey is going to be on, and he and I are going to talk about, you know, the salary cap, obviously, and we're going to also talk about the 2020 league year and the changes that are going to come into effect and how they might affect contracts that are done in 2019. So a lot coming up on the Locked On Giants podcast. So we're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, I'm going to play the discussion with Ed Valentine that I had earlier today, and I hope you enjoy it. So stay with us. On the line with me, I have my good friend, former co-host Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, and we're going to talk a little bit about our observations and what, you know, things we heard and whatnot from the combine. Eddie, always glad to have you on board.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Patty.
Anytime, my friend, anytime. And for those who don't know, this year was Ed's first time at the combine, so he got to experience the hustle and bustle and all, you know, keeping up with all the quotes and everything. And Ed, how are you feeling after all this?
Well, you know, I drove to Indianapolis, as you know, which, you know, silly me, it's only a 13-hour drive. So, you know, I got back here Saturday afternoon, and I'm actually starting to feel like, you know, like the truck that hit me. I'm starting to feel a little bit better, Patty. But I did want to thank you for taking a newbie around and showing me the ropes and helping me out while I was there.
Oh, not a problem. I just, you know, what you really want to thank me for is that you didn't have to get hazed by all the veterans who were there, you know, buying everybody the donuts and everything like that.
No donuts, no shoulder pad carrying or laptop carrying or none of that stuff. Just time to get to work.
Yes, indeed. And Ed, a lot went down at the combine, you know, a lot of news, a lot of rumors. And, you know, let's start off. I think we need to start off with the Dave Gettleman and the Pat Shermer media conferences. Now, for those who aren't aware by now, in addition to their 15-minute podium visits with the general media audience, the Dave Gettleman and Pat Shermer both held about a half-hour media session apiece with the Giant beat writers, and I thought a lot more came out of those sessions than the general podium ones. Ed, what were some of your biggest takeaways from those sessions?
Well, you know, Patty, you and I have talked about this privately before, but Dave Gettleman, you know, he sits in front of people and he doesn't mean to give away the store, some, you know, per se. But he's fairly transparent. When you go back a year ago, you figure out, you go back and look at what he said and the way that he acted, and you knew that he was in love with Saquon Barkley. And one of my big takeaways this year in listening to him talk and in, you know, you and I, we sat around a table and we listened to Gettleman speak to New York media, and I don't recall him going out of his way to mention the name of a quarterback in this draft class. I mean, I came away, you know, when you think about quarterbacks and you think about the number six pick, I just came away feeling like right now, you know, there's not a guy he's banging the table for that he's drooling over that he absolutely has to have among the quarterbacks in this class.
Yeah, I got the same impression. I mean, if anything, and I wrote this in my combine takeaway piece for Forbes, if anything, I detected just the slightest bit of drool sneaking through his lips when he talked about the offensive tackles and the defensive pass rushers. He mentioned that there are a couple of guys who, haven't been in a three-point stance in college, but he said, look, these guys have it, and they're going to go high, fellas. They're going to go high. And he had this big grin on his face. And right away, I thought to myself, could it be we're going to see hog mollies in the first and second round in some order? I mean, I keep hearing that they're going to go with Darrell Williams in free agency, but they also need to get a young offensive tackle that they want to draft. So I'm just wondering if they go, offensive tackle now in rounds, in at number six, and then defensive pass rusher, given how deep it is, or will they flip it? But I do think that they're going to go in some order, offensive tackle and defensive pass rusher.
Oh, I would agree with that, Patty. It was not hard to read, Gettleman. I mean, when it comes to the fact that he sees a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of talent in the pass rusher class. And it's never hard to understand with Gettleman that he loves the hog mollies. Both he and Pat Shurmur have been adamant that every single year you need to add to both lines, to the offensive and defensive line. So that shouldn't be any surprise to anybody when they go ahead and do that. And it won't surprise me at all if the sixth overall pick, if they sit there, if they don't move up for a quarterback, which I don't anticipate, and if they don't move down, which is another intriguing possibility, it wouldn't surprise me at all if whoever they think is the best pass rusher, whether that be Josh Allen of Kentucky or Montez Sweat of Mississippi State or whoever happens to be sitting there, it's not going to surprise me at all if the best pass rusher on the board is their pick at six.
Yeah, I'm still leaning towards that. The offensive tackle class probably not as deep. I don't know that there will necessarily be a run on those guys. And plus, I don't know if necessarily you want to draft the guy at six at right tackle. If it were a left tackle, I'd say it would be a no-brainer. But those pass rushers, as we know, the Giants apparently are planning to move on from Olivier Vernon. No surprise there. He was put on the trade block. Sources, there were multiple reports on that. I caught wind of that myself from a source. And, it's interesting, Ed, because it sounds as though they're not even going to give Vernon an opportunity to offer him even a pay cut. It just sounds like they just want to move on from him.
Yeah, Patty, that's an interesting one. It's not like it's not earth-shattering news, that they would be moving on from Vernon. I think we've kind of seen the cards on that one. We've kind of seen that one coming. The interesting one for me is Landon Collins. I think you and I probably both entered the combine, a week ago. I know I would have said, I'm pretty sure that the Giants will use a tag on Landon Collins because he's 25 years old. He's a defensive difference maker, a playmaker, something that Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur have both said the Giants need more of. And here we sit as we record. We are a day away from the deadline for using a tag. And it looks for all the world like the Giants are not going to do that. They're going to roll the dice and see what happens in free agency with Collins. And I'm just very, very surprised by that.
I'm surprised that they haven't, come out and said, we're going to use the transition tag. As you know, I've been beating the drum for that. I think it's the best solution for everybody. It gives Collins an opportunity to go and shop his services. And if the Giants detect that, he's going and he's got a chance of landing with a team that has a heck of a lot more cap space with them than they do, the Giants can always pull that tag off of him and be assured a high, you know, compensatory draft pick, sort of like what happened back in 2016 when the Dolphins initially transitioned tagged OV, and then they pulled that tag off when they saw Jacksonville and the Giants, both of whom had you know, a heck of a lot more cap space, get involved in the bidding. So I'm just surprised, and again, and as we record this, it's about 3:30 on a Monday, the day before the deadline for the franchise and transition tag designations, but I'm surprised that isn't being talked about more. You know, I'm also surprised, you know, I'm with you. I think going into the combine, I figured, oh, you know, once the cap was set, the two sides would talk, you know, everything would be fine. But again, sources came out and said that, you know, if Collins does get the franchise tag, he's going to hold out. He's going to, you know, create a distraction. And Gettleman was quick to say, you know, look, I don't want a distraction. But, you know, Ed, what kind of bothered me about that whole scenario is Gettleman spoke about the money, and I get that. But you know what? They can create money if they need it. There are ways to create money. So I just, for them to kind of sit there and say, well, we might not be able to, you know, apply the tag on him because we won't have enough money, I'm not sure I'm buying that.
Well, Patty, here's the thing, and I have had this sort of nagging thought in the back of my head ever since the middle of last season, ever since, you know, the weeks leading up to the trade deadline, when, you know, there were reports that Collins' name was being floated, you know, in trade rumors. And obviously that didn't happen. You know, maybe the Giants had offers for Collins and just didn't get the price that they would have hoped for. But I just have had this nagging feeling in the back of my head that despite his talent, despite the fact that he was a defensive captain, that there is something in the relationship between Landon Collins and the Giants front office or coaching staff. There's something in the relationship between the Giants decision makers and Landon Collins that's off a little bit. I don't know what it is. I've never had anyone tell me, you know, in particular that there's something between them that's a source of disagreement. But it just feels that way because this is a 25-year-old player who may not be exactly the player that he thinks he is. He's not a guy who can go play center field and be Earl Thomas. He's not a guy that can cover the field sideline to sideline. But he is a guy who can make who is a tremendous difference maker close to the line of scrimmage. He's a player that the Giants drafted. Get him a second contract. He can be a core kind of a player, which is something John Mara has often spoke about that they haven't had enough of in recent years. And I just look at it, and I get a lot of the things Gettleman is saying, but you just can't keep spinning your wheels talent-wise and replacing, you know, top-tier guys with other guys you hope will be top-tier guys. So I'm just not sure I get it at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wonder if last year the reports about trading Collins, which, by the way, a source told me that they were very much true, that the Giants were looking to get a second round draft pick. But anyway, I had heard that the reports were true. And you wonder if maybe Collins took that personally, you know, like, you know, what, I'm all of a sudden expendable, you know, what's going on here? And then I just think, Ed, it's kind of like, you know, if I'm putting myself in the position of the player, it's kind of like, oh, you know, I'm not good enough for the cause here, to help the cause. What's going on? And then, you know, the deal falls through or it doesn't materialize. And now it creates a little bit of awkwardness. It's kind of like, you know, if you're dating somebody and then you go off and you cheat on that person and then that relationship doesn't work out. And it's like you go crawling back to the person originally you were with. It becomes very awkward. And that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like it's a relationship that's 100% healthy, Patty. That is apparent to me.
Yes, it is. Ed, let's take a quick break, come back. We'll have a few more thoughts on the combine, and then we'll call it a day. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina and special guests Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, my former co-host, making the rounds. He spent the days at the Indy Convention Center sitting not far from me. You know, I took him around. It was his first time at the Combine, and he got to see all the craziness and experience all the craziness and hustle and bustle up close and personal. And Ed, my gosh, on a show like this, we could probably talk all day about the Combine. We were talking about, you know, the Landon Collins situation, the OB situation. What else stood out to you about your time at the Combine, things you might have heard, witnessed, or whatever?
Well, you know, Patty, one of the things that I like to try to do for the folks at Big Blue View is kind of set the scene as much as I can. And I did do kind of an Ed's Excellent Adventure piece on my trip, you know, to Indy and back. And, you know, obviously, as you said, I had never been there. And, you know, it's nothing to do with a player. It's nothing to do with, you know, with the Giants, really. But I'm just thinking about that media room, and I'm thinking about the whole meat market feel to the whole thing in the ballroom with the players. I mean, you have this massive ballroom, which is really like four ballrooms opened up. And on one side, you have, you know, just to let people know what this looks like, you have eight podiums set up basically side by side with microphones where eight players are speaking into microphones simultaneously. And you have sounds, you know, basically ping-ponging off everything. You have a bunch of guys who aren't at podiums shoved into tables in the corner. On the other side of this massive ballroom, you have what passes for Radio Row, which is basically just Radio Corner, bunch of folks, you know, shoved in the corner of the room with their microphones. And in the middle, you have makeshift bleachers and a makeshift stage with guys bench pressing for all they're worth, trying to make themselves millions of dollars, with fans paying to sit in bleachers where the only thing they can see is the video board behind these guys anyway. It is, you know, for my money, it's an insane scene that, you know, that I can't get out of my head. It's like, this is crazy. Just the whole setup is just crazy.
Yes, it is. And you know what, Ed? It wasn't always like that. They started opening up the bench press to fans, I want to say, a couple of years ago. It makes it harder for us to hear the interviews. I kind of wish they would do the interviews separate from where they do the bench press. And I'll tell you something. Last year, Radio Row was actually right behind where the interviews were, the podiums. So where you saw all those cameras set up, that's where they used to have Radio Row. And then they decided to move them in the back, which I think, you know, helped clear some of the clutter out. But yeah, just a really wild scene. I mean, and you know, you have to hustle. It's kind of like speed dating, the way you jump from podium to podium.
Yes, it is, Patty. I mean, you don't really get to know these guys. You get to know a little bit about their stories. You know, I was one guy that I was very, very impressed by was Washington offensive tackle Caleb McGarry, you know, who told his story about his personal struggle, his family struggle. But you get to know, you know, you get to hear a little bit of a lot of these guys and how they speak and how they conduct themselves. And as Dave Gettleman said, even in that 15 minutes that the teams get with these guys, they hope to learn things about these guys that you can't see on film. You know, things that, as Gettleman pointed out, are especially important when it comes to the quarterback position. You know, because as Pat Shurmur said, the quarterback and the head coach are the ones who the media go to more often than anybody else. They're the ones who are front and center in your franchise more often than anybody else, how they conduct themselves, how they handle the media, you know, how they treat, you know, those kinds of situations and things where it might be, you know, questions they don't want to hear, but they have to answer, you know, how they handle all of that. It is just as important as what you see on the film, really, in terms of a guy that can lead your franchise.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, some guys, like you said, they were media stars. I mean, they were exceptional. They got up there, they told stories and gave really good answers. And then you had some guys who you could tell just did not want to be there. And, you know, it's such an interesting dynamic because you get all different types of personalities, all different types of, you know, approaches to the process. You can really tell who's been coached up in interviewing and who hasn't. Just so much to learn, and there's just so much materials. And I thank the good Lord that, you know, the Pro Football Writers has that transcribing system where, you know, if you can't get to somebody's podium, you can at least get the transcriptions from the media sessions and at least, you know, work off that if you need to. Just, you know, I think a lot of fun. So
I enjoyed it myself, Patty. I would like to do it again, but you know, I'm next time I'm not driving.
I don't blame you, Ed. All right, Giant fans, on that note, we're going to call it a show. I want to thank Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, my former co-host here at the Locked On Giants podcast, for coming on with me. Ed, always a pleasure, and I'm sure you and I will be talking down the road.
Yes, we will, Patty. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks. All right, Giant fans, that'll wrap it up for today's show. I want to thank Ed Valentine for coming on. I want to thank you, as always, for listening. And hope you'll tune in to the rest of the week's shows and the shows coming up. Again, a lot of great content coming your way. And I look forward to bringing it to you. So have a good one.